three guys were to fly then to Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
The big bopper wanted to go.
He had the flu, and he told Waylon, he said, if there's any extra seats on that plane, I'd like to go with you guys. Waylon said, well, just me and Buddy and Tommy's going, but you can go in my place, because Waylon said, I don't care about flying anyhow. And the bopper had bought a sleeping bag that day, and he said, you can use my sleeping bag and get in that night's sleep. So that's how come he was on it.
And then Richie Valens wanted to fly. He'd never flown in a small plane.
Never been in a small plane.
So he was asking you then to trade places.
Two or three times if he could go in my place. That's when I flipped a coin. And
you were actually in the ballroom when you did that.
Went back in to check in the dressing room, make sure we had everything loaded. We was on our way to airport. I'd already gone out and gotten the station wagon. It pulled from the front of the building around to the back to the dressing room door. Buddy asked me to go ahead and check, and that's when I saw Richie, and we flipped a coin.
What did you say to him?
I flipped a half a dollar and said, call it, Richie. And he said, heads. So I lit heads. And I said, you're going. So I'll go back out and tell Buddy.
Buddy had your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And why did he have your wallet?
I asked him to go to PO and pick up a letter for me when I wasn't going to go. And he said, give me some ID. So I'm standing beside the station wagon. I pulled out my wallet and was thumbing through it for my driver's license. He said, just give me your whole wallet. He stuck it in his pocket.
So when the plane crashed...
Yeah, they found five wallets, five IDs there, and four bodies. And they weren't really sure at first who the IDs belonged to.
There were those who thought that you were gone, too.
They did, yeah. In fact, one of the Tulsa radio stations, a lady was calling my mother to tell her she just heard it. I might have been in a plane crash with Buddy Holly. My mother said, well, I just talked to him. He's all right. He told me that he was supposed to have been on the plane, but he didn't get on it.
Did you ever get your wallet back?
Yeah, I got it back, and it's in the Hard Rock down at Miami, Florida. It goes around the world with the Buddy Holly collection.
The tour was going to Fargo. You were going to play in Moorhead.
Right.
And so then you traveled to Fargo. The bus went to Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And you went into the hotel. When did you learn that the plane had crashed?
That day when we went in the hotel, about 11 o'clock. The hotel was actually right at the edge of Fargo and Moorhead. Comstock.
What a shock then to hear.
Right. We walk in there, and there's on the TV or picture, the road manager said, I'm going to check in the winter dance party. And I told the guy, I said, and put me in a room next to Buddy Holly. And he said, well, haven't you heard? He said, them guys got killed in a plane crash last night.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
At the time, the songs that were big for Buddy Holly, what were they?
Just before that, he had three in the top 10, Oh Boy, Peggy Sue, and That'll Be the Day. We're on Billboard's top 10, the first time that had ever happened. That was his three biggest records.
He wrote That'll Be the Day.
That'll Be the Day and Peggy Sue. He didn't write Oh Boy.
Did Buddy write a lot of songs?
Yeah, he wrote most of the stuff he did.
How long, then, did you stay in Fargo after you learned that news?
We played that night and left out the next morning for the next show.
So you played with Bobby V.
He had a little band in high school there, and he came out and did some songs.
I was 15 years old, and let me just preface by saying that this was the biggest deal that ever come through my rock and roll life. I had my tickets and was anxious to see the show. I was in Fargo Central, and I came home from lunch in the noon hour. We lived close enough. I walked in. My mother was in the kitchen, and the radio was on. They were talking about Buddy Holly and Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and approached the kitchen where my mother was, and the radio was. I could see it in her eyes. There was something wrong. And sure enough, they were talking about the show, but they were talking about the plane crash. And that was the first I had heard of it. Went back to school, Fargo Central, and there was no school after that. That was everybody was talking about. They met up with the remaining acts that came in on the bus, and they decided to go on with the show. So that was a strange thing to do. But they decided to go on with the show. And then Charlie Boone mentioned on the radio that they were looking for some local talent to help fill in the evening. And Jim Stillman, the bass player for us, called up the radio station and said, yeah, we got a band. And, you know, did the whole thing. And they said, well, just come on down and wait in the wings. And that's what we did. We were doing rockabilly music. I mean, that was what I was drawn to. I grew up in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and it was country music, Lem Hawkins and all that. All of a sudden, that changed very quickly, the format into rock and roll. So I was, you know, listening to the Everly Brothers and Ronnie Hawkins and Carl Perkins and Elvis. You know, we went in there with sad eyes and hearts and did the best that we could do. We weren't trying to start a career or anything. We just, that's what you do, you know. When there's a tragedy, you help out, and that's mm-hmm. the spirit that we went into it with. And at the end of the evening, Bing Bengston, who was a local Fargo guy that owned the drive-ins, came by and he said, "You guys did a great job. And here's a card if you're ever looking for work." And that was it. That was the start.
Did you play as the Crickets? Or?
No, me and Waylon, just the two of us did. I think we might have had Carlos on drums. But yeah, we just didn't. It's kind of like a Blue Haze to me, you know. But I know we did 40 minutes.
Was the place packed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was probably a pretty quiet crowd.
It was pretty solemn, yeah. Yeah.
And you played a number of his songs, Buddy's songs?
Yeah, Waylon knew all of them, you know, and we just peeled them off. Just did them. We did that for the rest of the tour, Waylon singing his Buddy's songs.
You should be admired that you went on and did that for the crowd.
Well, we called Buddy's dad that day, and Mr. Holly said, "Well, they're having trouble trying to get the bodies flown back here." He said, "You guys go ahead and finish the tour." That's what Buddy would have wanted you to do. And, of course, the guy from New York called and said, "You know the old adage, the show must go on. If you and Waylon leave, there goes our backup band, you know." So we stayed on. Plus, they promised us some more money we never got.
How did that affect Waylon? Did it have a long-term effect on him, you think?
Well, you know, I don't know. I kept telling him on that tour, man, people were going crazy over him. When he was singing, he was getting applause like Buddy was getting almost. And I said, "Waylon, you're going to be a star one of these days." He said, "Oh, no." He says, "That's just sympathy applause." I said, "No, a certain amount of sympathy, but most of it's because they like what they're hearing out there, you know." He had a lot of charisma, old Waylon did. He's like Johnny Cash. He had that sound in his voice that people like.
Character to his voice, I guess that you could say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been asked to tell this story hundreds of times, and I appreciate you telling it here again, but what about you? What kind of an effect? And to think that it was on the flip of a coin.
Well, you know, you're just blessed every day when you get up that you're getting up. Yeah, you think about it.
Even these years later.
Yeah, I still think about it every day. I'll be in Clovis playing the next couple of nights on Sunday morning, and I'll be rehashing the same thing. I'll be doing some of Buddy's songs. But I like doing it.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can still do it.
And that you thought so highly of Buddy that you want to keep his memory alive.
I'd like to, yeah. We have a lot of problems with his widow at times, you know. But
rights to music, you mean, and playing? Or
not really. She gets the royalties, but she puts a lot of nails in the road, you know, trying to stop people from doing things, and she should be glad that they're doing them. She'd be encouraging people to do it. She's quite a stumbling block. You know, she stopped Lubbock again this year from having a Buddy Holly birthday celebration.
Can't use the name Buddy Holly without paying her.
Yeah.